Episode 309, How to Encourage Others.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, welcome everybody and welcome to the daily edition of the Trig Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV here with my gozo bell, also surrounded as always with my gozo mug. Let's see how today's coffee of the day is tasting. Let's see. Oh man, it could be hotter, I must say, but it is tasting amazing. So welcome back to your daily dose of gozo, jamba juice for the soul. Living on Gozo Street. Gozo, by the way, means joy in Spanish. I want to talk to you today about how to encourage others. I think all of us dream and long for to lift others up, to be an example, to mentor other people, but sometimes we don't always know if we're making an impact, or maybe we feel like our lives just aren't that special. But there are times when God brings into your life those special moments to remind you of what amazing things God is doing through you. And that happened to me actually this weekend. As I've said before, I would say this year has been one of the most challenging years of my life. It's been a year where I haven't always known if God is doing amazing things through me. I know He is, but sometimes that perception is maybe different. And so by the grace of God, I think God always knows what we need. This weekend, two things happened that really encouraged me and that brought perspective to me, to my soul and to my wife, to our whole family. First, we had this friend that we've known for over 20 years come to our church and visit, and that was just so encouraging. He said a lot of amazing things and encouraging things to both my wife and I. And then maybe the one that caught me off guard even more was I have another friend, dear friend of mine from Colorado. And perhaps if you're listening to this, my dear friend, I want to tell you what an encouragement you are to me. He called me to ask some questions. He was going through some challenges. He wants to do great things in life. He's considering moving from A to B and just doing great things in his community. And just through that conversation of just talking about kind of where he's at, it brought a lot of encouragement to my own journey. It made me feel like our time together was significant. And I knew that, but I didn't know just maybe the impact that we had upon each other's lives. And it made me realize how you never know what God is doing through you in the lives of other people. It made me realize perhaps how the key to finding out what God is doing in our lives is to slow down, is to listen to other people, is to ignore the negativity, but to always focus on the positive. And so I want to tell you maybe a little bit more about how and why that meant so much to me. And maybe to give you some tips on how to do the same, how to realize that you are making a difference. I think first what it taught me was that every day matters. You know, my friend and I, we did a lot of great things together. What we did was built a soccer league or a club, I guess, a soccer club in our city. And I was just kind of more of a sidekick. I don't know much about soccer or about sports for that matter, but I do have a passion. I did have a passion for those young kids, but my friend was the one who really had the skills and the heart, and he was the one who started this league. I just kind of came along to help. But, you know, looking back on that time together, every day matters. He, as we were talking on the phone yesterday, he reminded me of this one day when I came out. I think I came out with our son, David, and we put on some soccer jerseys and I brought some soccer balls. And I was just like, come on, kids, who's going to sign up? And we had about 9 kids that signed up just right there and then. And that meant a lot to him. It meant a lot to me as well, because it was just one of those moments where you made a difference in the lives of those kids. And I remember actually that day I felt a little awkward only because I don't know much about soccer. And I was wearing, I believe, a jersey from one of the Mexican teams. And as again, I don't know all the different teams from Mexico, the soccer team. So I felt a little out of place. But it didn't matter how I felt. First, it was amazing just to do it. Second, it made an impact in the lives of those kids that signed up and their parents. But then third, it impacted my friend, and that meant a lot to him as well. So every day matters. You may think that the thing you did the other day was awkward for you. Maybe you thought that speaking up in that meeting was difficult, and I'm sure it was. Maybe you felt that telling your parents what you really want out of life was hard, or they didn't listen. Maybe you feel that if you're a leader, that the time that you're spending investing into the lives of young children or families isn't helping much. But you never know how one act of compassion, and in this case of courage and maybe even embarrassment, can change another person's life. Second, I would say an encouragement to you would be to be ambitious, to have a godly, divine passion and ambition to help other people. It says in the Bible that without vision, and I always call it passion or a God-given sense of adventure is what I call it, people perish. People will suffer. And I have changed my thinking on vision tremendously. I don't think that vision is that important as love. I think really what we need to be pursuing, as according to the Bible again, is love. Vision, dreams, ideas are all important. But I think, at least for me, you need to make sure that your ideas or your pursuits are actually helping people, and they're not just your own pursuits, which is a little bit of what I struggle with ideas and such and vision. But going back to the importance of ambition or of passion, talking to my friend, he was reminding me that I wanted to be the mayor of our city back in Colorado. And he was basically saying how he believes in me and how those dreams or those ambitions were things that he related to, because now he has similar ambitions, not in terms of being a mayor, but in other pursuits in his own life. And when he said that to me, just recalling the memory, I felt a bit embarrassed, because I thought, yeah, so me, always talking a big game and maybe not doing anything about it, which is not true. I actually did do a lot about that, and I was on my way. I honestly, well, I knew the mayor, I knew a lot of the different council members, and I would say if I had stayed in that city, let's say for 5 more years, I would have ran for mayor. And I may have lost because of X, Y, and Z, but I know I would have had a ton of support from different people, including my friend. But that's not my point. My point is that sometimes you have to declare your truth, because you never know how it's going to inspire somebody else. When I declared to my friend that I want to be mayor, it awoke something in him. It rung true in him. It awakened his own pursuits, his own dreams, his own godly, divine-given ambition. And yes, there is ambition that is selfish, and we see that plenty in politics and in every area of life. But I believe for many of us, most of us, our ambitions, or if you don't like that word, call it your pursuit, your obedience, whatever you want to call it. Our obedience or our desires, our heart is to help people and to honor God. But sometimes when you maybe aren't as loud as I am, you may not believe that it's possible. You may think that it's just something that maybe it's a secret, or you may feel like you have to hide it from people because of many reasons. So if you're someone who has a dream, make sure that you speak about it. Yes, guard yourself, guard your dreams, because there are many people. For every one friend of mine that was in awe of my, or was inspired by my big talk, I'm sure there are 10 others who were turned off by it. So yes, you have to be aware But it doesn't mean that you need to be silent. If anything, I'm convinced that we as the artisans, as the dreamers, as the people of passion in this world, as the prophets and prophetesses, women as well, of God, we need to be vocal. A few weeks ago, I was listening to this one interview I forget the name of the show, but it was of, man, I forget her name, but I think she's the mayor of Oakland. She's running for, or she might run for president in 2020, etc. So Kalina, Rice? No, not Condoleezza Rice, but a female, obviously, African-American, amazing. I think she went to Cal State somewhere here in California. Anyway, I sent the podcast or the recording to a few of my female leader friends, two or three of them, because I wanted to inspire them. Because when I heard this woman and her story and her commitment to the poor, to the youth of her city, and of course, she's a senator, I believe, as well. So her commitment to our country and to bring healing to a lot of our problems, it inspired me. And I'm obviously a male, and I thought, wow, this needs to inspire my daughter. So I sent that recording to my daughters and again to all of my female, especially my young leaders, because when one person speaks, it inspires many. It inspires thousands and millions of people. If you have a dream, a passion, something that is burning within you, even if you think it's impossible, or that you're not there yet, or that you have nothing to show for it, you need to speak up. I feel like so many times in my life, I don't tell you on these podcasts my dreams or my ambitions or my pursuits, my goals, whatever you want to call them. Again, if you don't like the word ambition, that's fine. Some people think that's bad. I don't think it's bad, but there is bad ambition, but that's why I call it divine, God-given adventure or ambition or passion. We need to talk about it. And sometimes I don't talk about it here because I think, well, I'm not successful. I'm not successful in the ways that I measure success, pews and people in the pews and buildings and all these things. I'm always thinking of the externals. But I feel like God is changing my metric for success. Not that I don't want big numbers. I mean, I will always want a room of 10,000 people to speak to, of course. But I am realizing that perhaps my success is in loving people. My church is small. My church has many ups and downs because it's made of people who have ups and downs. They have a pastor who has ups and downs. And yet my success continues to be people around me and how they are just so beautiful and how I love them so much. And so when you and I speak of our stories, of our ambitions, of our growth, of the lessons that we're learning, of our struggles, it inspires other people. And so make sure that you, as someone said, that you don't just simply declare, but that you document. What I mean by that is that, and that's kind of a marketing thing, but basically what that means, instead of just declaring your successes and how you grew something from 0 to 1,000 in a day or in a month, instead just document your journey. Because when you and I document our process, it inspires other people. Because as my friend told me yesterday, when we moved back home, because you know we lived in Colorado and then we moved back to California, even though he in the moment didn't get it, and I didn't tell him this yesterday, but I remember clearly how he opposed my move. I remember he took me out, or we were walking somewhere, and he was in his own kind way, he was basically saying that I was wrong for moving back. And I wasn't wrong, because God had a great plan for my life and for my family, my wife and our kids' lives here. And I'm convinced of that. But my point is that you have to declare your process, because when he and I talked about that process, even though he didn't see it, now when he's pursuing something just as radical that makes no sense to others, he felt inspired by my progress or just by my story back then. documentary story. And then third, I would say this is maybe the most beautiful part of what we talked about yesterday, is make sure that you, and I said this earlier, is that you do it for the love of people. That you do it for the love of people. As you know, I am a psychology geek or wannabe psychology person. And I read a ton. I've been through therapy. I listen to a million podcasts and all these things. And I've realized that my type, my personality, just my gifting, my wiring, whatever you want to call it, is success. I want to be successful. And even though that has served me well for almost 50 years of my life, I feel successful. At the same time, the vice of that is that I always feel like I'm not successful enough. There's this battle with what they call shame. And it's, you know, this is very common to a lot of us creatives and passionaries, as they're called. And so in my journey as a human being, as a successful person, or as just an Enneagram 3, INFJ, blah, 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 I am learning at this stage of my life to ask the question, is there unhealth in that pursuit? And the answer is yes. It's unhealthy for me to pursue success when maybe, and here's what I mean by the metric of external success, when perhaps God in this season of my life wants my metric to be love. And so when I was talking to my friend yesterday, I told him the story of my current success. I didn't tell him that my church is small. I didn't tell him that we have many problems. I didn't tell him that I often feel depressed and anxious about it. He actually was telling me those things about his own efforts, and I, of course, could relate to that. What I focused on was on love. I didn't also tell him of all the amazing messages that I've preached and all the great comments that people give me, because that also didn't matter to me. What I told him was about a hospital visit that I made just yesterday, how I went to see my assistant. And my assistant is a volunteer, and she's a beautiful lady in her 60s. I know she hates it when I mentioned her age, but I only say that because she's dealing with some health issues, and she's been dealing with them for a long time. I was asking her, how long have you been dealing with this? And she said, since my 30s. And I went to see her, and it wasn't a good day for her yesterday. She was not feeling well. And I left after kissing her hand and praying for her, feeling down, of course. She's not only my assistant, quote unquote, volunteer, but she is a woman who I really care for and a dear friend of mine. And I'm praying that you, my dear friend, will get back up on your feet soon. And you got to get back and start making sure that I'm organized. So you better get back in here quick. But I told my friend that story because in the pursuit of numbers and success and a brand new building and an amazing message that will change the lives of millions and all that craziness, what really means the most to me these days is to be there for my friend, is to inspire the one person, is to visit my dear assistant, friend, partner in crime in the hospital, and to just kiss her on the hand and to just believe that she will be fine. And I believe that she will. And I was telling my friend that in our pursuit of greatness or in our difficulties, when we struggle with people that don't support us, or he was telling me that, you know, he has just typical stuff of a nonprofit. His board members sometimes are busy, and sometimes people get sick and he feels alone, and how is the money going to come? Where is the money going to come from? And some different groups were cutting funding from his nonprofit, all the usual stuff, right? And I was just encouraging him to just admire what he has, to look around at the people that are on his board and to go deep with them and to get to know them deeply. And of course, to always remember, in his case, the children. I think I mentioned that he's building a soccer league. You might want to go to, I think it's called balonusa.org. Balon means ball, B-A-L-O-N, USA.org. So check that out and support my friend. But I was just telling him, remember that this is about those kids. It's about those families. You know, when I was helping him back then, I just remember being in the field and watching these kids play. But you know what? Probably the moment that I loved the most of that whole experience was actually with my other friend. His name is Carrie. Carrie and I got to know each other at church. One day he just came up to me and he said, "Hey, Trig, blah, blah, blah. I'm from California as well." You know, we were in Colorado at the time. And so we just had an instant bond and he fixed my roof and all these things. And but then he began to struggle with some things and I felt a concern for my friend. And so when I was building and helping with his soccer league, I said, "Hey, Carrie, why don't we go and ask this," I think it was a YMCA, "for these goals, you know, these soccer goals." And I got them, long story short, brought them to my house, but they were pretty broken down. They'd been outside for a while, so they were weathered, and we had to get new nets and all this stuff. So Carrie and I spent maybe the next, I don't know, day or two just fixing things up. We got these goals to look awesome, or at least awesome enough, and we took them to the school, and we left them there. It was a big surprise, and the kids were great. Things were happy. The kids were happy. But what I remember most about that experience, maybe even with the whole soccer league, was not only helping my dear friend, the director, but also helping Carrie, because I'm convinced that that time with him was life-changing for him, because it came at a time when he felt so down, so low. And I guess what I'm saying is that what matters the most is the people that we do life with. It's the people that we love. Are you aware of the people that you're with? Are you in love? Maybe not even, I don't want to ask it that way. I want to say what I said just a little bit ago. Are you in love? Are you aware of the amazing people that you have around you, that God has brought around you? Are you taking the time to be inspired by their lives? Are you taking the time to invest into their lives? Perhaps you're working somewhere that is just your typical kind of, I don't know, cubicle kind of office space. And maybe you're taking things for granted. You're getting upset, your boss, you're not getting a raise, you're not moving up. Take time to talk to people, to love people, to minister and heal them. Take time to inspire other people. Don't focus so much on the success, whatever that may mean. Maybe for you, success is not numbers. Maybe for you, success is that you're helping everyone, or that people do it your way, or that you get, you know, that you're always right, or maybe that you're having fun, or that there's no conflict and there's always just peace and harmony. Whatever your idea of success is, ask yourself the question, are you forgetting to love people? Are you so focused on changing the world that, like someone said, that you're no earthly good? And I remember another quote, it said, "Everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to do the dishes." Are you so focused on your next adventure or on your next project or even on the next person to help that you're actually forgetting to love people? Because even when we are helping people or in the helping people business, we can tend to not love people. Or maybe here's another question, kind of on the flip side. Are you getting too sucked into people's lives? Are you not loving yourself enough? Are you over-loving people? Are you over-caring? Over-carrying their burdens? Remember that it is the Lord who takes the burdens off of us, who carries our burdens. Galatians 6 says that there's a twofold play, I guess, when it comes to carrying burdens. There's a part that we carry our own burdens, like your own backpack, like I like to say. But then there's also the part that we care for each other's burdens, where you say, "Hey, let me take that backpack off of you for the next half a mile." It can't just be one or the other. You have to take care of yourself, and then you can take care of others. For me, maybe to practice what I'm preaching here and to be vulnerable, as always, trying to practice vulnerability and just simply being in the moment, To document, you know, for me, the last few years, as I said, have been very, very difficult. And I would say it actually started maybe even back in, I don't know, 2018, maybe 2011, 2012, maybe 6-7 years ago. So when I began this journey, what my other friend Kathy Escobar calls it, she calls it down we go, the downward mobility. And I remember as a typical three, I thought, well, that's never going to happen to me. That's a waste of time. Why would I want a downward mobility? Why would I want to go down? And you got to check out her book. It's called literally Down We Go. Wow, was she ahead of my time? She ahead of my time. She was right and I was wrong. I can honestly say that I'm also experiencing downward mobility. I feel less successful in the things that I consider success. I feel less famous, less known, less titles. I'm not pastoring some amazing, meaning huge church, which has always been my measure of success. I don't have 2 PhDs, which also has been my measure of success. I don't have a perfect tight six pack. As my friend Matt used to say, it's more of a una, what do you call it? A una ab. Yeah. One big ab. And all those things, I'm telling you, they kill me inside. But the life that Jesus is trying to bring from those ashes is beautiful and it's surprising. And I can honestly say that my friend Kathy is right. Down we go. That really is the way of the gospel. Now, how come these other guys have churches of 1,000 and 5,000 and 10,000? Aren't they also living out the gospel? Wouldn't I rather be them? Heck yes. Would I rather have a church of 1,000 while I quote, down we go? Yes. Instead of a church of 50? Yes. But for some reason, this is my lot in life at this point. And even when I say at this point in my life, that sounds like I can't wait to get out of that, of this season. I can honestly say that if this is my lot in life for the rest of my life, that I'm okay with that and it is well with my soul. I would like to have less problems. I would like to have more people. I can honestly say not to make me feel better, but so that there is more life in the room and that people that are new feel like this is a place to be, just simply in the dynamics of that. But even as I say that, I wonder if even that is wrong. Maybe really, as the Bible always says, it's about love, not about the feel in the room. And I believe that through all of these things, I'm actually entering the kingdom of God. I'm becoming more like Christ. And I just want to now go back to just you. You know, you too might be feeling that your current life circumstances are nothing to write home about. I wonder if God is actually doing a new thing in your life. I wonder if he's changing the rules of the game. He's changing the scoreboard from what you thought was winning to what he considers winning. God is a God of justice. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He is one who doesn't care about your idea of success or about your numbers or about you being the most amazing person or having the most fun or being always right or never making mistakes. Whatever, going back to the Enneagram, whatever your idea of success is, God isn't interested in that. He's interested in you becoming like his son, Jesus Christ, and in you loving people. And like my friend Kathy says, it's a downward spiral towards Jesus. Downward mobility is what God is looking for. Or as Matthew 6 simply says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I think that's the key part right there for me. The righteousness of the kingdom of God isn't the righteousness of man. Our righteousness is to be right, to be perfect, to be happy, to boss people around, to be admired, to be right, to have all the right details, to be a peacemaker, all of the things that we long for. But the righteousness of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is to seek and save the lost, to die, to carry the cross and to follow him. And when we do that, we will really experience what we like to call here a life of joy, a life of gozo, a life of peace, a life of true love and genuine ministry, genuine concern for the lives of other people. And I think that when you and I do that, we will inspire those friends back home. It was beautiful to have my friend call me yesterday. We talked for an hour. And even though he felt like I helped him, I don't think he has any idea how he inspired me. I talked to my wife, Rochelle, about it last night. And I'm waking up this morning here talking about it on this podcast because it really encouraged me, really helped me. God wants to do something great through you. Don't give up because you don't see it. Speak your truth. Love people. Tell your story, even if it's imperfect, because you have no idea how your imperfection is somebody else's victory. Share your story. Share your journey. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you are going down into the kingdom of God versus up into the kingdom of the air. It's better, Jesus said, that we lose everything, but that we gain our soul. And the worst thing, the way he said it, is if we, what good is it, he said, if we gain the world but lose the kingdom of God. My prayer for you today is that you will know that the kingdom is near. The kingdom is right around the corner. The kingdom is in you. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is with you. And many people need you to be a kingdom maker, a kingdom seeker, a history maker. For the sake of Jesus, for the sake of those in need, those kids, the poor, the elderly, the orphan. God will come and save you. He will give you the desires of your heart. Put him first. No matter where you're at in life, a young person, someone my age, someone older, or maybe you're a young kid, God wants to use you in a powerful way. First, seek the kingdom of God and his measure of success, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Make sure that you like, subscribe, share this episode. Thank you for listening. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.